In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We tend to become sort of lethargic and numbed toward the very idea of the cross in our lives these days. Even though we see them everywhere, it's almost like we should see them less than we do. They're all over the church, everywhere you can look. We keep them in our homes. They're in our cars. They are worn probably by millions of people to whom the symbol itself has absolutely no relevance at all. It just becomes a decoration or something to put on. We have people who were baptized even as Orthodox Christians who wear the crosses daily, but yet it means little to them. And so it's important for us to rethink, perhaps, what the meaning of this symbol is in our lives, this very simple little, essentially two lines intersecting one another, about the most basic thing that you could ever come up with. And yet it is imperative for us to realize that it is the very centrality of our salvation, of our life in Christ when we gaze upon it. It is something that is so basic to all of us, but yet it kind of drifts by us and we don't think about it too much. And that's a real shame. That's why the church on this particular Sunday brings the cross out in front of all of us to remind us what this journey is all about, where we are headed, where we are going, the passion of our Lord who hung upon this very simple instrument that has been used both for life and for torture. It is something that we have to gaze upon with a renewed sort of fervency and an admiration and desire to emulate Him in all the things that He did. Because when the cross goes forth, wherever it is, angels are going with it. Angels accompany every cross that exists anywhere in the world today. No matter how small, how insignificant, or how large and glorious, the cross stands there as a testament to God's interjection of Himself into the world at large. And the church feels that at this midpoint of Lent, this mid-Sunday of Lent, this Wednesday is actually the midpoint of Lent, that we need to renew ourselves by looking at this and saying, what are we doing this for? What is this all about, actually? Is there some reason that we're actually doing all this fasting and that we're heading toward this celebration we know as Pascha? And of course, the cross is there to remind us of this. And it's something that we decorate, that we bring out in great wonderment and holiness, something that we fall down before to remind ourselves of Him who hung upon that cross for our salvation. The cross is something that's always been with us. Of course, it was by the cross itself, by the avoidance of the cross in the Garden of Eden, that Adam and Eve fell. And the cross found its place in the Old Testament many, many, many times. It's throughout the Old Testament. The cross is essentially the symbol that we ourselves are engaging in when we are baptized into the church. It's our mounting the cross is what we do in that baptism. And the crosses that we wear should be burning into ourselves every day to remind us that we were bought and sold at a price and that we don't belong to ourselves, but that we belong to our Lord Jesus Christ. If you look at the symbol itself, I mean, it's such an easy thing to overlook. And that's why the church says, look, you've got to reconcentrate, rededicate yourself today. Bring yourself back around to the reason that we're here, to the things that we do. The cross, of course, in the time of Jesus was something that was seen everywhere and usually with some poor soul hanging on it. It was one of the worst torturous deaths that could be inflicted on anybody by the Roman Empire. And when the Lord said that you need to take up your cross and come and deny yourself and follow me, He was, of course, ringing the words of the Roman Empire into his disciples, who knew exactly what this meant. Because the cross at that point meant nothing else but death, nothing else. It was something that one didn't even like to talk about because it was so horrible. And yet the Lord embraces it and says, look, if you want to save your life by following the things of this world, by doing the things of the world, by doing the things that you want to do and ignoring me, then surely you're going to lose it. But if you are willing to come and die, if you are willing to sacrifice yourself for my sake and for the gospel's, then you're going to find your life. That's the great difficulty that all of us face every day of our lives, the crosses that we bear and how to embrace them. Usually we're trying to run away from them. I'll include myself in that. No one says, oh boy, a cross is coming. Here we go. I've been waiting for this one. You know, hop that train and ride it. No. That's not the way we treat the cross, is it? Any cross that comes into our lives, we want to avoid as much as we possibly can. No, get it away from me. I don't want to deal it. Why does life have to be so hard? Why are these things happening? And it seems like sometimes the crosses mount up so much that we can't bear them. It's one after the other, after the other, after the other. Everyone's had days and weeks like this, right? Things happen on a Monday. Tuesday comes around. You think that maybe you're just starting to deal with Monday, and then something else happens. And then a relative calls with a problem. Then a friend calls with a problem. And then your boss gives you trouble at work. And then you get some ridiculous bill out of nowhere that you weren't expecting that you've got to pay for. And then on top of it all, by Thursday, you've got the flu. All of these are crosses that we deal with in our everyday lives. They're unavoidable, absolutely unavoidable. As long as we are human, as long as we are in this world, we're not going to be able to simply brush these things off. Yet the fathers tell us, in echoing the Lord's words, that if we indeed take upon ourselves these crosses, we gain our life. How is that? Why would that be? Because the Lord Himself showed us how to do it. As we celebrate now this prequel, this great long 40-day prequel to His Passion, where He will come and He will voluntarily carry His cross for us. He will voluntarily ascend the cross. He will voluntarily take the nails in His body and hang there and essentially asphyxiate before He expires. He does that for all of us. And yet we have trouble even embracing the little crosses that are part of our lives every day. The Lord shows us in His great love for mankind. We can imagine and we can look upon the sufferings that He endured as He was going to the cross. But what we can't imagine is that point when He's hanging there and every sin of every person in the world comes home to Him in His divinized humanity. It comes and it just assaults Him. Absolutely assaults Him. And though, of course, in His divine nature, none of this was going to have an impact, the divine nature allowed the human nature that hung on the cross to be affected by this. And so we can't even begin to understand the impact of every sin in the world coming upon one person. But this is what happened. Out of His love for us, and He, out of this love, told us beforehand that if we want to embrace Him, we simply must take up our crosses like He did. And for many of the saints, of course, this meant the same thing. For almost all of the apostles, death awaited them. Many times in crucifixion. St. Peter, certainly. St. Andrew, certainly. And there were others. They embraced the cross just like the Lord said. But then again, He looks at all of us and He sees what we're made of and He sees what we are able to bear and promises He won't tempt us above that. And so He gives us other things that we need to do, that we need to embrace, that are for our salvation, because it enables us to participate in the smallest degree, the sufferings that He endured on the cross. He is allowing us participation in His own work of salvation, because if we want to be like Him, we have to emulate Him. We have to do the things that He does. And this we back off of, and this we fear, because we're afraid that somehow we're just not going to be able to do it. Oh, not that again. I can't go through that again. I can't do that again. Please, Lord, take this from me. Take this from me. That's usually what our cry is. But the saints, those who attained theosis, those who attained divinization in Christ, were the ones that took this on. And they embraced their sufferings as if they were warm friends. So many of the saints were so sick for so much of their lives. So many of them underwent persecutions of one kind or the other. If not suffering physically and suffering death, then they were slandered. Some held high office in the church, and they were completely slandered by people. So that while they lived, their slander lived on. And people thought horrible things about them. It was only years later that the church came to realize that these people were wrong. And the church says, no, these people were actually very holy and saintly, and they bore their slanders with great dignity. They took their crosses upon them and denied themselves, meaning they denied their own human implications to go out and defend themselves, and instead bore it silently and became part of the great rank of the saints who are now up in heaven praying for those that actually slandered them. This is the resonance of the cross in our lives. This is the power of the cross in our lives. We call it the precious and life-giving cross. And it's curious even that in our prayers and in our liturgical services, we don't ever talk about falling down and, for instance, worshiping an icon. We may fall down before the icon of Christ, but yet we say we venerate the icon and we worship the prototype. But yet when the cross comes out, we are very direct and we say we worship before the cross. We sometimes give the cross almost human attributes, and that we say to things like, rejoice, O life-giving cross, because of the person that is going to hang on you. The cross is indeed something special. The cross is put in front of us because it is that thing which, next to the resurrection, most assures our salvation. Every Wednesday and Friday, we celebrate the cross. Does everyone know this? While we fast every Wednesdays and Fridays, it's because that's the commemoration of the cross every Wednesday and Friday, and other times throughout the year as well, including this day today. So, look at the cross and marvel. Thank the Lord that He had the courage to mount it, that He was willing to set aside any fears that His own human nature may have had. Because we know that those fears were there. They were there in the Garden of Gethsemane when He asked that the cross be, that the cup be removed from Him if possible. In His human nature, He experienced the things that we did. It's not like simply because He was the divine human person of our Lord Jesus Christ that He could race up to the cross during His passion and that everything was fine and it was no big deal and He was able to do this easily. Don't think for a minute that He didn't feel the pain, that He didn't feel the suffering, that He didn't feel the fear of mounting that cross, because His divine nature was allowing this, because it was for our salvation, something that He was taking up upon Himself so that He could experience life in its fullness, just as we do, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And by doing this and letting that divine nature make the human nature conform to it, that's how we attain salvation. That's how His divinity comes to us through His person hanging on the cross and then following His resurrection after that. So we do worship the cross today. We fall down before it. We glorify His resurrection in doing so. And we remind ourselves that at this midpoint of Lent, we should redouble our efforts. We should think, okay, we've been doing this for 3 weeks now. I haven't really started fasting very well. I haven't been praying enough. I haven't been doing all those things. And the cross says, get with it. Now's the time. Now's the time to wake up, throw some cold water in your face, and say, okay, it's Lent. Like it or not, it's here. But embrace it. Embrace the fasting. Embrace the difficulties. Embrace the challenges. Embrace the seeming difficulties that come to us so often as we engage in more fervent prayer. Embrace the spiritual warfare. Put on that cross and become victors in Jesus Christ, because that's where we're pointing, and that's where the resurrection ends and where all of this is leading. The cross is difficult, I know. It's difficult for all of us. But it's also the symbol of our salvation. It's the sign of the Son of Man that before His second coming will be seen in the air by everyone. The cross will be seen. And it's by this sign, by this glorious symbol that has so much power, that has so much reality in our lives, that the Lord is going to lead us ultimately to the kingdom of heaven to be with Him. Amen.